If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gavelic, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Well, the post is broken. Matthews in it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
This is the Super Footy Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Super Footy Podcast, episode 24 for the tab. Who are you backing? Mark Robinson, John Anderson and Brian Taylor. Welcome, gentlemen. Well, we're finally done.
Hello, Brian. Hello, Ando.
We got through the home and away. Now, how do we feel? West Coast was probably the big eye-opener out of the last round.
I still feel the same as I did a couple of weeks ago. Richmond are the big, big threat. Played well again on the weekend. Took down one of the big boys. They just look like they're the threatening team to me. You look at their form. What have they won, 9 in a row or something? And they just look unbeatable at the moment. Tom Lynch is really starting to play well for them as well. So to me, it's still the Tigers for me. But the Collingwood Geelong game, very interesting indeed, isn't it?
Tigers are extremely gettable.
Tigers are.
Yeah, I reckon their form's overrated.
West Coast picked them apart in a quarter. Brisbane got close.
In two quarters.
Yeah, I'm not as bullish as BT.
They deserve to be premiership favourites. Got no problems with that. But they are not like, well, it's funny you could say, the same time last year, they were more of a powerhouse. And then they lost the unlosable in a prelim final. But I'm not convinced about Richmond at all. And going to Brisbane, I asked the Geelong blokes who went there a couple of weeks ago, that gets hot. And the only unfortunate part for Brisbane is it's been played at night, not in the afternoon, which they would have preferred. But if it gets hot, and it will be hotter, and you can't acclimatise in two days of training up there, it can be an issue. And Richmond and Brisbane were not, they left the MCG on Sunday, not feeling overly confident, but they weren't shattered.
Oh, they weren't hurt, yeah. It's funny, because Geelong and Collingwood are the winners a bit out of what happened, because Geelong doesn't get Richmond first week, and then Collingwood gets a double chance and plays Geelong, who they play well against.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about those four teams in the second week of the final. BT, full forward of some note, Coleman Medal winner. Is Josh Kennedy cooked?
Of some note. Josh Kennedy, is Josh Kennedy cooked? I don't think so. No, I think he's got a couple of good games left in him. I think he can still go. I remember, you know, when I was a full forward of some note, that you guys would write me off on a weekly basis and then I'd come back next week and kick 10. And
who can you remember? I wasn't writing then. I was only a young fella, but can you remember who
everyone,
was writing you off?
Peter Simonovic, Mike Sheehan, John Anderson, all of them come at you. but that's all right because you played bad and you know, have a bad spell. But he'll be back. He'll be back, Robbo.
I tell you what, it is a matter of faith with Josh. He's had his lowest numbers since 2007 in marks and score involvements. 2007, that's 12 years. He's kicked more than two goals once in the last, I think, 8 or 10 games.
Injured, Robbo.
Yeah,
he has to be injured. He's not covering the ground.
He's not covering the ground. He's 31.
For a full forward, he's probably covered more territory than just about anybody in the history of the game.
He has been a great player, an absolute great player, but I'm really concerned about him. And I don't think they can win it with Josh Kennedy in his current form.
Well, it means Jack Daly has to keep the form going that he's displayed all year.
And Clarkson probably knew that. And guess what he did on the weekend? One of the coaching moves of the year.
Put a ruckman on him.
Ben McAvoy, you're playing on Jack Darling. It was that. That is seriously. That's a master move.
Just on Ben McAvoy, the quote of the year, or the silliest thing I've heard this year, was in our SAC podcast, which has been well listened to, and it was Scott Waters talking about when they let Ben McAvoy go to St Kilda. That the reason they let him go because they weren't going to win a premiership in the next 5 years. Next 5 years. 5 years is a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Do you reckon Richmond in 2017 at the end of the season, after they lost to, 2016, after they lost to Sydney by 130 points, we're not going to win a premiership in the next 3 years, 4 years? or
see you later, Teach Edwards.
What an extraordinary... Ben McAvoy's been one of the silliest let goes in the history of football. And Chris Pelchin and Scott Waters to try and reinvent history by declaring they let him go because that's nonsense, absolute nonsense. He's been a ripper, hasn't he, McAvoy? And Segler has been very good in the
He might be going elsewhere next year.
Yeah, exactly. He's been well looked at.
Yeah, can Essendon beat guys? Can Essendon have they got a hope against West Coast?
I'd say no. I mean, Hurley, there's too many injury issues going on, isn't there?
They're bringing back a few. They'll be bringing back Hurley's in doubt.
Hooker plays.
Fantasia.
Stringer.
Stringer is back.
Yeah. They'll have a pretty good team back, won't they? They get those guys back in, they'll be pretty good. So. I reckon they're a chance.
I think they are.
You saw them Friday night, as you called that game. I was amazed they were still in the match with 5 minutes to go. I thought that was huge for the Bombers to do that. Because Collingwood had to win the game.
Yeah.
Collingwood wanted to finish top four. So there was nothing easy about it. And they were still there.
And three or four, as you say, of their best players out. And goal kickers at that. So, they and Hurley injured as well for the game. And didn't they have a concussion early? I think they did as well.
And
so
the umpires got involved late with a couple of marks that could well have been paid. McKernan was one where their hands were clearly chopped.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I had some Essendon supporters at my house on Friday night. They nearly put their cans of beer through my new TV, which... People get emotional, don't they?
Mitch Brown had marked the ball. And then the ball's punched out. It's a mark. This is common sense.
Grown men, Andrew. A lot of anger. Do you think 3 weeks ago, we've written a couple of pieces about John Worsfold and Essendon and mentioned Ben Rutten a couple of weeks ago as the person that Essendon would look at if they were looking at a new coach and certainly as a future coach. Do you think that John Worsfold's position, you three... hangs in the balance of this match, this result?
It shouldn't, because he's made the finals with this team. I don't think it should. If they win a final, they can't, can they? Couldn't possibly do that.
Well, they haven't won a final. This is ridiculous. They have not won a final since 2004.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'll say it's 2019.
There's a Twitter handle with the days.
Yeah, they count the days. Now, we all grew up through the late 70s, 80s and 90s and early 2000s. They were a powerhouse club.
Who won the best and fairest last year? Was it the recruit from GWS called Devin Smith?
Yeah.
Year before, was it Danaher? Joe Danaher. How much have they played this year?
Yeah, zero.
No, the last two best and fairest winners are hardly
5 minutes.
Yeah. How uncomfortable do you reckon it would be with Ben Rutten being there at the moment and John Worsfold there, and here we are talking about it, and we're not the first people to talk about it, everyone's spoken about it. How uncomfortable would that be?
I think very. And especially if factions have been gathered. Now, Dan Richardson from Richmond, he got over... Ben Rutten from Richmond, Blake Carosella, an Essendon boy, but come back from Richmond. I think there's some support out there for Rutten, but you know Worsfold. He's an assassin, mate. He doesn't care who's coming at him, what size they are. He just does what he does. And give him credit, I've been pretty critical of him and the team this year. They've made finals. There's a lot of good teams out of the finals, and they've made finals, and they've got an opportunity.
From outside, he should not be removed. But there's one thing that always sticks with me, and Brian goes back a fair way, but I go back even further. When you lose a game by over 100 points during a season, it sticks in the minds of those who make decisions. And when you lose it the way that Essendon lost to the Bulldogs, when they kick 23 goals in a row, it can always come back to haunt you, those type of things. Really. Now, Richmond overcame it. They lost to Sydney in Sydney.
Last game of the year with Damien Hardy.
Won the premiership the next year. It can happen.
So the question they've got to ask themselves, Anna, it's simple for the Bombers. Hey, listen, is John Worsfold the long-term coach of this team? You know, do we see him as the long-term coach, or do we see someone else in that position? I mean, if they're just going to put him down for another year or two, then you might as well move on, get on to the next one. But, they're going to commit to him. If they do commit, it's got to be long-term or nothing.
7 weeks ago, before the GWS game, he was in real strife. I wouldn't be surprised if the club sits down with John and says, "Hey, John, thanks so much. You have been unbelievable, but we think we need a new direction with the way we're playing. But we bloody love you. You've been fantastic. To me, that is a real possibility. That'll be even more difficult, of course, if they beat the Eagles at home and then they come here to the MCG and then suddenly all their little fellas that you like calling, Brian, all those little fellas run around, get the ball and kick goals. Yep. Suddenly, John Worsfold can't go.
Very good point. Now, what about the other elimination final? The Western Bulldogs coming in the rush. Do we believe what we've been seeing? I mean, their last 6 weeks is pretty impressive.
GWS gets back. They get back. Do they? Canelio?
No, we don't know.
I think he's not playing.
We're saying
Hopper
not.
Will. Someone else will come back. They get a couple back.
Haynes will play. Nick Haynes is all Australian player.
Yeah, Nick
or
Haynes.
Squad. Hopper's a star.
And Himmelberg. So they'll get some troops back.
Himmelberg played.
They get their structure back. They've played with Himmelberg, Finlayson, and Jeremy Cameron basically all year as the three key forwards. Toby Green had a very, very interrupted first 14, 15 weeks of the season. He's now playing awesome football. They've lost Alidio. Of course, I don't think he'll get up. So they're going to be a different proposition than what they were 2 weeks ago when the Dogs got them. And one thing about the Dogs, are we believing what we're seeing?
Yeah.
How can you not?
Exactly.
The player talent thing, there's always no doubt about that. But to me, just in the last, we've been watching the GWS mob pretty closely, just the hardness, the aggressiveness, the hunger, it just hasn't been there. To me, you just can't go on and win, you know, big finals if that's not there, regardless of the talent you've got in it. And they're playing the team that I think can do the most damage for the most underrated team in the eight. I think out of all of the teams in the eight, you know, the top ones aside who have the form on their side, I reckon the Dogs are ones that can do damage. I actually don't know where they will end up in this finals campaign. It could be anywhere.
I'm sitting opposite a Western Bulldogs supporter and it's not Robbo, and I actually trust his judgment on these matters, and he's not quite as up as he might have been. If you really thought they could win a Scotty, you would be more up than
I don't think they're as good as 16, but that doesn't mean they might get a lucky shot at it.
But that rises to the top, Scotty. So
yeah, exactly.
You look at Collingwood in 1990, the Dogs in 16. You know, even at the start of the finals, we probably weren't saying that about them. It's as each game goes by, that can build really quickly. Like if they play one really good final and rip GWS to bits, what will you think then?
Yeah, I agree. There's hope because they've got a structure. The two young key forwards. Norton's a gun. Shacky, you can't trust. But they're getting it done.
Tim English is not ready
He's
yet.
He's a good player. But the midfield is elite. And the back line's settled. So there's issues. But
Bontempelli's superb.
Bontempelli. McRae's averaging 40 touches. Dunkley's become nearly the most improved in the comp. So, and the way they play, the buzzing, the pressure and the ball movement, teams can't handle that.
I love watching them. They can score with those mid-sized forwards.
Now,
they've got four blokes who can kick.
Lloyd's been a good recruit.
Two, three goals a game. No other side can match the mid-sized forwards of the Dogs.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
I'd love to see them get a run.
And what about the Pie? I mean, Darcy Moore's going to be talked a lot in the next couple of weeks, BT. I mean, what you saw him in action, you saw him come off. There's a scan said he's clear. What do you think about the Darcy Moore predicament?
The scans could say he's clear and did say he's clear, but that doesn't mean they're clear in Darcy's mind. So it'll be interesting to see. I personally don't think this, just looking at him, the way he came off, the way the doctors treated him, the way they spoke to him, just all the body language said to me, maybe just a little bit of a tightening, definitely wasn't a strain. Scans have come out and clarified that as well, but Darcy's got to get it right in his head. If it's not right in Darcy's head, he won't be playing. And if he does play, he won't play very well. So everything's got to be 100% right. But they'll get a couple back as well, the Pies. They're starting to play well. Look, they haven't played anyone of note in the last month, and that's a bit of a worry. Gold Coast, Melbourne, Adelaide, Essendon, not exactly exciting stuff to get ready for a final series, but at least they're getting a few back. There's definitely a bit of hardness and aggressiveness back in there in the way that they're playing at the moment, so that's a really good sign. Taylor Adams has been sensational since he's come back. He's been a really important cog. With Stevenson back in the side, it changes everything. With Degoe back in the side, it changes everything. I know they haven't got the big guy there in Reed or Mason Cox, But with those guys, it just means they've always got someone there. At the moment, as soon as Dugowie goes into the middle, there's no one really forward, maybe Elliott a little bit. But, you know, Dugowie goes forward, Stevenson and Elliott both stay deep. I mean, it's dangerous, and that's when they look their best, when they had those guys up and running. But admittedly, they did have a big guy in amongst all of that, and they haven't got that at the moment.
And poses problems for Geelong that they pick Blissars, Henderson and Taylor. They can't have all
you
three.
Blissars
is not... I would expect Reece Stanley's going to ruck.
Oh, he has to ruck.
So Geelong can't play all three. Blissars obviously plays, so it comes down to Harry or Henderson. And Lockie, I think Lockie Henderson will be unlucky.
I think he will.
Because of the matchups with Collingwood, because they're just too quick up forward.
I mean, Stanley has to play. I mean, he tagged Grundy in the first... I mean, Geelong played well. Collingwood weren't up and running. That's way earlier in the season. But Stanley, at least athletically, can go with Grundy. You just got to stick with
it. Looked like someone had spoken to him during the week, didn't it, the way he played?
No doubt. It was all or nothing. And I mean, they didn't beat too much.
They've been speaking to Reece for years, basically. he's best as good enough.
He's got two or three good ones in him, and maybe they just string him together.
In a row,
It might have been the final speech, though, Ando.
It might have been, yes.
On Geelong, I truly believe, and Robbo, you spent a bit of time with Patrick Dangerfield in recent times. He could carry them a fair way. And I know it's not individuals, and you need a team, you need a system, but this guy is at a different level in the last month.
He plays at a high level despite a tag.
Well, I don't know whether they can't tag.
He's close to one of the most untaggable players I've seen in my life, actually. Not in my life, in recent times where tagging has been in it. He's an inspiring player. He does things that others can't do. He knows that he's a very, very good player. And he embraces the fact that his teammates are looking at him, saying, "We need you." Some people can cower under that pressure. Not with Dangerfield. Dangerfield, to me, he says, "Give it to me."
I think he'll play well, irrespective. I'd be looking at Selwood and Hawkins.
They need to lift.
Selwood's been fairly good, but below, and he's not playing. He's not playing as much in and under, so he's playing a totally different role. But Joel's got to get more of it in the big moments, which I'm pretty sure he will, because his history says he will. Tommy Hawkins has had some really good games and, you know, some not so good games. His graph's been up and down.
He's down at the moment. He hasn't kicked a goal in the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
The other interesting player down there is Gary Ablett, 35 years of age. I suspect he'll be another 9-time All Australian if he gets an All Australian this year. I would love to see, and I think it's imperative on the Cats for Gary to play really, really well. He's a big-time player. We know that. He's a big-time player. This is why Gary's back at the club, Ando. This is why he's back. They got him back last year. Bang. This is the time to deliver.
Do you think he goes, if Geelong wins it, that would be it?
Yeah.
I think you know the answer to that question.
Oh, so you don't think he's going to go on, Ando?
You think he
is? Not if they win.
Mm.
Why do you say that, Brian?
No, I'm just asking. Are you saying that he won't go on, play beyond this year?
I don't know the answer to that, but he has.
If they won the flag. If they don't win the flag, he might go on, I think.
Yeah.
I think he'll go. I think he'll go. And for Gary's sake, just the fairy tale, it'll be awesome. No. And he's in reasonable nick. His defensive work has been really, really strong. His offensive work was fantastic in the first 14 weeks of the year.
I'll tell you what, Rob, I'll read the Herald Sun next Monday and we'll have a definitive answer about what he's doing next year.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. Think he'll, boy, that's a big leader there, Ando. Just a point here, we're going to tell you.
You know what we call that, BT?
What's that called?
Exclusive by John Anderson.
You can't read what he said, though.
And now he's showing us text messages from little Gaz.
We'll move on or we'll get in trouble. Now, BT, if you're Damien Hardwick, do you assign someone to Lachie Neale? 51.
Oh, that was a rubbish comment by Demi yesterday. Just rubbish.
What did he say?
He said, we won't let him off the leash again. Really? Well, why didn't you do something about it when he was getting 51? But Tigers don't tag.
Who was the player who, when they were getting back into the game in the third quarter, who was the Brisbane player?
Oh, Dane Zorko.
Dane Zorko, every time.
Dane Zorko had a better game than Lachie Neale. I actually think Damien Hardwick is playing mind games with Lachie Neale. Hey, we'll think about tagging him. Oh, rubbish. You haven't tagged since Jack Graham went to Rory Sloane at halftime of the 2017 Grand Final. And now you're thinking about tagging Lockie Neal. Why don't you get someone on Dane Zorko?
It's all to do with the hurt factor with midfielders.
Of course it is. And Matt Crouch suffers the same way. Of course. I'm not saying they're bad footballers. They're very, very, very good footballers. But the damage that they do with the ball, in contrast to, for example, Dane Zorko, Dustin Martin. Dusty. Did you call Friday Sunday's game, BT?
No.
The A grade is wrong?
Yeah, the Richmond game. Yes, I did.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I thought you were. The A grade's wrong. What did you think of the impact of Dustin Martin compared to the impact of Lockie Neal?
Oh, it was just miles in front of Lockie Neal, what the impact that Dusty Martin had. Some players like that, Cyril Rioli, you know, I can remember working with Matty Lloyd at 3RW for years and years, and Matty having a go at him saying, he's only had 12 again today, you know, and that went on for years. But every time he was having 13 possessions, he was kicking three and laying eight tackles.
And giving off 10, you know, 10 score involvements.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, you know, you can get your 52, and I agree with all of you, that 52 was a bit like a 38 sort of game to me. It wasn't, you know, 52, big deal.
You just had a, you know, nice friendly swipe at Matthew Lloyd.
Lordy and I had blues about this for years. You know, he just didn't like the way Cyril's game was. And I kept saying to him, that's the way he's built. So what I'm saying is that's the way Dustin Martin's built. That's the way that Lockie Neal's built. Everyone contributes in a different way. And I'm just saying a 50 possession game can be the equal of a 12 possession game.
No, I agree with that. But the point I was going to make before you got really defensive was you friendly swipe at Lordy. Lordy gets a lot of friendly drive-bys, doesn't he, in the media?
Well, he's a velvet sledgehammer. He does hammer on a bit, and he collects a few on the way through. But Lordy and I get on great. I love Lordy. I reckon he's fantastic, but he's wrong on Cyril.
I asked Jonathan Brown recently. I said, do you know Lordy very well? He goes, no, not really. I said, geez, you give it to him. He always brings up the Lordy called the Collingwood midfield this year the best midfield that's ever performed, and they were lucky to get in the top four by the end of the season. And he likes bringing it up all the time. And I wondered if it was a friendly snow.
Well, Matthew's a big boy. He can handle it.
I like Matthew's strong opinions.
He gives it out and has to, you know, cop it when it comes his way.
I love him. I reckon he's great. Straightforward, you know.
So do
really
I.
Really straight down the line. You sort of know where you stand with him. He's a beauty.
And Brisbane, BT, you've been slow to jump on. What did you think after you walked away from the G?
Yeah, I thought they come away having won that game as well, to tell you the truth. You know, the Tigers played pretty well. So did Brisbane. Brisbane hung in there. What was the margin in the end, Scotty?
Four goals.
They got within two kicks or one kick.
Yeah, I thought they showed. I called that game with Lee Matthews. We sat there and we spoke about it three-quarter time, and Lee agreed. He said, no, I think they've come away having had some success today and probably realised to themselves that now they can compete at this level in finals football against a team that was, you know, as the premiership favourite, as Ando said. So I think they gained a lot out of that game on Sunday, knowing that they can compete against the best at the MCG.
They were jittery early. There's no doubt about that. They were getting the ball, slamming on their boot. And Mitch Robinson does that really, really well, but it's not great, I think, when 12, 13, 14 players are doing that. They will have learned so much from the first 15 minutes of that game. It'll just
75,000.
Yeah, they'll learn
for them to play in front of for those kids.
The fact of the matter is, if they don't put pressure on the midfield, they are going to expose Marcus Adams.
I was going
to
ask
Jack Riewoldt. Every time he's on the lead and there's no pressure on Dustin Martin and Dion Prestia and the like, they're going to kick it down his throat. Adams is a stay back and mark interceptor. You think back through your time, BT, you were a full forward of some note.
Some note.
And you played on a lot of full backs with some note.
1 year.
Some of them hung back. Some of them are very good on the lead and sticking with it. For example, Steph Silvani, Ando, was very good on a leading forward because he stuck with them. Adams, no. He got beaten by five.
So they changed
meters.
That matchup because Harris Andrews has to go with Lynch. Because of the height situation.
Charlie Gardner got the height. Has he got the agility to... Not Charlie Gardner. Charlie.
Former Geelong great. Who went with Mick
Gardner, the other Gardner. Darcy Gardner. I think he got an opportunity at some stage.
Yeah, no, he went to him late.
He's got to because he was, Adams is not a defensive leading stopper.
Hey. Just on a couple of those players you mentioned there, Robert, the Tigers, but particularly the Tigers, Dion Prestia, I reckon, gone to a next level. That was nearly the best game I'd seen him play on the weekend. He was absolutely sensational.
Agree with that.
With so many other stars around him. And I'll tell you the one that might well rip this final series to bits. To me, Tom Lynch is the one that is in the box seat to do some real damage in this final series. I reckon he will too.
Great set shot for
Now, I've got a lot of faith in Harris Andrews. I think Harris Andrews will be the centre-half back in the All-Australian team. He's got the height to go with Lynch. He's got the speed to go with Lynch. And he's got the confidence overhead.
He's got the possession game of Presti Giacomo.
So
just three a game.
So you're savaging Harris Andrews, are you, for lack of possessions?
Good defender, good spoiler, good puncher, good knocker.
Is he a good player?
Not a bad player, good player, good stopper. But does he get enough of it and go forward with it?
Well, everyone can't be offensive, Brian.
I know, but most players are required these days are required to be able to...
So he's playing on Tom Lynch. He keeps him to... Five kicks and one goal, two. And he doesn't get any kicks himself. You're not happy with that?
Oh, don't start pointing out. He hasn't done that yet, has he?
Saying Tom Lynch is going to be the player of September.
So Dylan Grimes is the same. Grimes gets eight touches.
We're not in September yet, Ando.
there's a headline.
Next week, mate.
Brian Taylor savages.
Things change.
Savages
Harris Andrews. You need to understand that. Things change. You know, the old saying, it's just another game. No, it's not. Because normally it means elimination or it means a prelim final or a grand final. That's what finals mean. They can't be the same as other games.
Okay, no, I've got it through my head, my thick head. So Harris Andrews doesn't get enough of it. So that's really important. So Cyril Rioli got enough of it.
I draw the line at three. Cyril at least got over a dozen. Draw the line at three or four touches
just
in a game and saying they've done well.
Admit it, Brian, you've been caught out.
We mentioned All Australian BT. So Robbo had...
Don't start on All Australian. It's just a squad at the moment. Who knows? Who cares?
It's on tomorrow night, I think.
I don't think too many people... It is tomorrow night. I don't think too many people are concerned too much with the squad. We do want the team. It's just another thing the AFL put out to soothe more players. Well, you're not in the team, but we did concede it. Why didn't they put out a squad of 70 or 80? You know, why?
Yeah. I'll tell you why. Because it's modern society, Robbo. Everyone gets a ribbon that's in the race, mate. Everyone is a winner.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Hot chocolate. Everyone's a winner, baby.
Now, VT, Robbo went with McGovern and Harris Andrews as the key back.
Brian doesn't care, Scotty. Well, didn't hear him?
I know, but in the team, he doesn't care about the squad. He might care about the team.
Who are your key defenders? Who are your key defenders, Brian? Harris Andrews
I haven't even thought about it. So, you know, you've sat down at your Herald Sun desk there and for hours and hours you've pondered who, where, why, how. I'm sitting down in my desk and I haven't even thought about it because it means nothing to me. It means absolutely nothing. Give me the final team.
When you were a full forward of little note, did you ever make, were you ever All Australian?
Look.
Yes or no?
Well, the answer's clear. You know, don't say anymore. You've already answered your question.
The answer's yes.
You were.
Yes.
Are you sure?
The year you won the Coleman?
Well, look, guys, look it up in the media guide. Have a little looky for yourself.
They did it back then, Brian. I think that was a carnival state game situation, was it not?
Listen, we had a function at the end of the year.
No one cared.
And the players that were best in their positions were announced. I think that's called All Australian.
Were you proud?
I was announced on that night.
Were you proud of your achievement?
He wasn't there.
Didn't mean a lot, but, you know, looking back, I guess you guys now got to say that, you know, All Australian Brian Taylor.
So, Robbo.
Shut up, you blokes.
I'll go to you, Robbo. Yes. You were... There's a few missing from even the 40 that surprised you.
Yeah, well,
Nick Vlosten.
Yeah, I picked my team before they announced that squad of 70. I could easily have changed. I said, no, this is who I like. The more important thing, Nick Vlosten and Lockie Hunter.
I can't believe Nick Vlosten missed.
The more important thing, and I don't think BT cares, so I'll ask you, Endo. I really do think that the All-Australian selectors should recognise wingmen. I've spoken to a couple of coaches in recent weeks. I wrote a piece a couple of weeks ago. I've spoken to coaches And they said, absolutely, they've got to have wingmen because our mids can't play wing. The requirements of a wingman to run defensively and offensively, standard stoppages defensively, offensively. He said, we just can't throw anyone there. It is such a specialised position. I can't see why the selectors won't put wingmen in. But the problem is they pick one wingman in a squad of 70. Hugh McCluggage.
I'm with you, Robert. I think you did. I like the fact you got Lockie Hunter and Hugh McCluggage. Sorry to take it back. I'm just going back to the 1986 All-Australian team. Now, Brian, did you kick 100 goals in 1986?
I can't remember, Andy.
You know you did. Now, just interestingly, there's no mention of Brian Taylor here in the 1986
Australian team. Who's at full forward?
Well, Stephen Kernahan from South Australia was named in it, so he may have been full, he may have been centre half, he may have been full forward. I'm trying to think of another potential full forward here.
You've got the wrong book, Ando.
Oh, it's the wrong book. Yeah, sorry, wrong book. Yeah.
You've got the wrong book, mate.
No worries, Patch. Moving on, Scotty.
Have you got any All Australian squad issues, Ando, before we move off?
Look, I'm biased. I like history. I like champions. So I'd like to see Gary Ablett. He comes up 9 times if he gets in.
That would.
I reckon at age 35, that's a pretty cool.
What?
What? What are you on about now?
Gary Ablett. Yeah. He's been good, but he hasn't been all Australian good.
Oh, okay.
There's not many half forward flankers. Charlie Cameron, Michael Walters get in as specialised.
Charlie Cameron doesn't do what Gary does.
No.
He's not playing as far up the ground, bringing the ball into 50. And there's no better player, Brian. You call the football so well at bringing the ball inside 50 to a teammate than Gary Ablett in the competition this year. There you go.
So that's all he does now, is it?
He's kicked 30 odd goals.
Lots of players in the comp kick 30. But anyway, yeah, it's just a thought, but probably something you need to reconsider.
Now, what did you make of the basketball? You're a basketballer, BT.
Oh, great.
The Boomers making
I was at both games. I went to both games, and the Thursday was a little bit boring, but, gee, that Saturday game was absolutely sensational. Wasn't that a lot of fun? Took my four boys, all loved it, all got involved. Australia competed really well against a C-grade team and did really well. So, it was absolutely fantastic. Really good.
There's a lot of drama. I've got to go, but I just want to leave you with one thing. In 1996, a squad was selected, Ando, as you know. One key forward.
Kernahan.
Stephen Kernahan. And the other full forward, key forward, Brad Hardy. So, Brad Hardy beat Brian
Taylor.
I
was in the team of the year. What are you talking about?
You're not, mate. We've got the team here in 1996.
You might have it in right. I've got a trophy here sitting in front of me.
Oh, yeah, The Truth newspaper did one that year. That's right.
Oh, you got the team of the year from the Truth.
Yeah, the Truth newspaper. That's where it was. Alongside Heart Bar.
Diarrhea. And diarrhea.
I'm going to go to Col Hutchison, the official statistician of the AFL. And next week on this podcast, I'll be demanding full
apology. Well, you'll get it if apology. You deserve it. You know that.
Yeah, there's no other. Brad Hardy has to play full forward. It's a bad luck. He's a good player, Brad Hardy. He's a Hall of Famer.
He was playing in the back pocket.
Were you a better player than Brad Hardy, you reckon?
Well, it's not for me to point out.
Well, I'm asking you just for your opinion.
Hey, listen, Robbo.
Yeah.
I was, at various stages through my career, I was unbeatable.
That's true, mate. In games.
Sit there and smirk and laugh and carry on. But I'm telling you now, these players these days, someone wins the bloody Coleman medal with 60 goals. I kick 60 goals every year.
Did it in your sleep, didn't you, mate?
I kick 60 behinds.
Brian, you'd have to say it, mate. You were a very, very, very good player.
All right, well.
Cut down with a bad knee.
Well, considering I had that knee when I was 17, you know, did pretty well to get through to 28. I retired when I was 28.
Well, you weren't really retired.
Anyway,
that's
not about me.
You kicked out of Collingwood, weren't you, because of the book?
I'm just looking through this book to see if I can find it.
All right, keep looking. Well, we'll leave it there. We've got the All-Australian, which we'll debate next week because we'll have the actual team, so BT can cast his eye over it. And we'll know more about the lineups for the finals.
Yeah, yes. Highlight of the year so far. Do you like got something that jumps out at you other than Brisbane finishing second on the ladder, which has to be a highlight?
My highlight, simple. Yep. 6.9 million people attended the footy. Great. Well done, AFL. My low light, the rules that were promised they would change the game, and they've interrupted the fabric of our game by implementing these rules, have had virtually no effect except for the 666 in the final minutes of a game. It's had they've had no bearing.
My low light would be a rule that we've been adjudicated as something called the protected area, which just disappeared. We haven't heard about protected area for 20 weeks. My highlight would be Greg Popovich ignoring you the other night when you turned up for that interview, the great NBA coach. And my other low light would be AFL footballers who lie about all Australian selection.
My highlight quickly, the ability of the game's best players outside of Lance Franklin to play a lot of football. Cripps, Dangerfield, Fife, Bontempelli. I think we've had a superb season of our better players playing unbelievable football.
It'll be a good Brownlow. That's the one thing we're going to get.
Well, Danger's probably going to get 9 votes in the last 3, and Dustin Martin is probably going to get 12 votes in his last... 12 votes in his last 4 games. It's going to be tight.
It's going to be a good one. All right, BT, thank you again.
Hey, boys.
Now it's time to cross to the tab where we've got Jared Daffy on the line. Morning, Jared.
Morning, Scotty.
Now we've got some interesting games, a little bit of movement with the Eagles stuffing things up. Take me through the elimination finals first. I know they're a couple of weeks out, but what's the betting telling us?
There's actually been early moves in all 4 games. Now, the Eagles did open at $1.25. They're into $1.20. Essendon out to $4.60. That line opened at 25.5. It's now 28.5. So part of us expecting a big win to the Eagles. Geelong, $1.80 into $1.70 to beat Collingwood at $2.15. A line there of 5.5 points. The biggest move price-wise has definitely been the Western Bulldogs. They opened the $2 outsiders with the GWS at $1.80, but it's been flipped on its head, the betting here. GWS out to $2.05. All of the money is with the Bulldogs. They're into $1.77 and a line there of 3.5 points. And in the final game, the Tigers shortened up as well. They were $1.70 in the early market. They're into $1.65. They do have to win in Brisbane. The lines are 2.10 out to 2.25. And we've got a line there of 6.5 points.
Wow. And so I gather on the back of Richmond being Brisbane, the Tigers firmed in again premiership-wise?
Yeah, they have. They're into $3 now. Probably with that danger game next week, and they're at a backable quote in that one, you can understand that punters have sort of dropped off the $3. We've got money this week for Geelong at $4.50, Collingwood at $5.50, sprinkling of money appearing now for the Lions at $7, definitely the West Coast at $10, Bulldogs at $13, GWS 34 and Essendon at 67. So I don't know whether we're any closer trying to work out who's going to win this flag, but Richmond the favourites at the moment.
And I watched Patrick Dangerfield get best on ground again. I reckon he's got about the last 4 games he's nearly done it. He's shortened for the Brownlow?
Yeah, he's clear favourite now. He's at 275, 5 for 5. Lockie Neal on the back of that 50-plus possession game at the weekend. Bit of argument around whether he would have got votes or not, but he's into $5. Marcus Bontempelli really solid in the market at $7. And then we've got 2 players who spent a fair bit of time as favourites. Patrick Cripps out to $11. Tim Kelly at $15. We've got Adam Treloar, $15. Brody Grundy at $17. A little bit of interest this week in Jackson McRae at $26. But as you can see, the cream rising to the top. And whenever we see previous winners at the head of betting, there's always money for them, leading into Brownlow Medal Night, and I guess that'll be the case with Dangerfield and, to a lesser degree, Nat 5, $2.75 and $5 respectively.
It's going to be a cracking night. We haven't had a good close one for a while. Who, if I said to you now, right now, well, it's over, so you can have your choice. Who would you pick, Jared?
I think I'm a Dangerfield man, Scotty. Yeah. Our boys pretty much agree with you. At least 9 votes the last 3 games. Well, that's all you can get anyway, but he'd had a fair season up until then, and as we know, history's got a funny way of repeating itself here. Players who predominantly get votes, they get them every year. So he's the one to beat, and I guess that's why he's favourite.
Perfect. Jared, thanks again for your time.
Thanks, Scotty.
That's it for the Herald Sun Superfooty podcast for Tab. Who are you backing? And we'll be back next week.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.